I will. I'm just going to talk here. Get this out. This is an interview with Mary Beeler Croom Moore by Dixie Hibbs for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The project that we are working on is the Prohibition and its effects on Nelson County. The interview was conducted in Bardstown in Nelson County on East Stephen Foster on May 31st, 1989. Mrs. Moore, would you like to tell me a little bit about yourself, like when you were born and who your parents were?
Well, my parents were Mrs. Augusta Wood Croom, and she was born in 1857. And my father was Samuel Cy Croom, was born around Mill Creek in 1854. And my mother had 11 children, and one died at 16 years old, a boy from the measles. Then one little baby was born, and lost twins, two that lived 5 months. And the seven rest of us lived quite a little while after that.
So there were seven of you to survive.
Yeah, survived after that. Mm-hmm. And they've all gone now but myself.
And when were you born?
And I was born September the 5th, 1900, and I'll be 89 in September the 5th, 1989.
Mm. You were born in Nelson County, or were you born in Bardstown?
I was born in Bardstown.
Bardstown. Mm-hmm.
And my mother, I couldn't tell you just where she was living. Oh, I tell you where I was born. I was born out where the Old Kentucky Home Motel is now.
My mother
and father own that. Mm-hmm. And I was born there on September the 5th, 1900. And my father put all those trees out in 1902.
Oh, all those that are out there in the front.
And they
front
tore
right
our
now.
Home down when they built the motel.
Mm. All right, now let's see. You married Harold Moore?
I married Harold Gregory Moore in 1921 of January the 6th. And we had four children, Harold Gregory Moore Jr. Mm-hmm. and Betty Carolyn Moore, mm-hmm. and Bill Moore, whose name is James William Moore, mm-hmm. and Ballard Jewel Moore.
And what was your husband's occupation?
He was an insurance. He was an insurance agent. Uh-huh. He sold insurance for years.
Okay, now I know that you have told me some stories before about your musical career. I think that's quite interesting. And of course, we're talking about Prohibition, but to get an idea about what the situation was here. Now, when you were playing the piano and all, this was before you were married or after you were married?
That was before I married him. I was about 15 years old when we played for dances. And we had Morgan Yule play the saxophone, mm-hmm. and my brother Sam McCroom, whom he used to call Bitsy, mm-hmm. played the drums, mm-hmm. and my other brother, who was called Monk for a nickname, was mm-hmm. Ansel Croom. He played the banjo, mm-hmm. and I played the piano.
The piano. Okay. Uh-huh. Now, the places you played, did they serve alcohol there? Or
no. No, they never served any alcohol. Uh-huh. And I played all night long, mm-hmm. and we played in different towns around close. We went together, all of us in a car.
In a car around.
And went to play at the Lebanon, Kentucky, Springfield, Bloomfield, Hodgeville, E-Town, all the close places. All night long.
Mm. All right,
I really enjoyed every bit of it.
Most of them then probably didn't, most of the places then around didn't serve alcohol.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, Prohibition started in 1920. And at that time, most of the distilleries closed down. Do you have any memories about any changes that took place here? Or do you have any, you remember, was there a lot of reaction to Prohibition in the area? Or?
Well, there was saloons along mm-hmm. the street, mm-hmm. on the east side of the street, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. And a lady shouldn't walk on that mm-hmm. side of the street in the teens, you know, in uh-huh. the early, well, about 21 or something uh-huh, right. like that. Because it wasn't really nice for a lady to walk in front of those saloons. Mm-hmm. But after I married in 1921, and of course after that I started having children, and I didn't know about much what's going on then. But during the teens, mm-hmm. why, women couldn't vote or anything like mm-hmm. that, you know. So Oh, we were not allowed to walk on that side of the street at all.
Yeah.
But in 1921, they had apartments built up over the Louisville Store in the Hearst, Joe Hearst place along there.
Mm-hmm.
So they were nice apartments, and different ones of the families lived up there.
Yeah. The of course, was your husband as an insurance agent, did he write any policies for things like the distilleries or
anything
like that?
No,
was it life insurance?
Accident and life. Right. Accident and life. No, he never did write for the distilleries. And of course, I remember when about 1922, when Moore's distillery burned, you know. And of course, everybody went to Fire's End. And I remember very much carrying my oldest child down there to see the fire.
We all went, was it an accidental fire? Are you talking about at the distillery? Conmore is now Barton's.
Barton's. I don't know whether it's accidental or not. No.
I didn't know whether, was it a warehouse fire or was it the distillery itself?
It was a warehouse fire. The whiskey and all were in there. And it was a big, big fire.
Do you, I know that you're a Methodist.
Yes.
Like that. Did you ever remember any sermons in the church against the whiskey or the alcohol or anything? Was there anything like that that went on here before Prohibition?
Yes, especially in the teens, in the later teens. They didn't want you to work in distilleries if you belonged to a church. That was a no-no.
Okay.
That's a no-no.
Would they accept a donation from somebody?
They would accept a donation, all right. Oh, yes, they'd do that. But
they just didn't want you to work
in
it.
No.
Did you know any women that worked in any of the distilleries, like bottling houses or anything, or secretaries? Did many women work in the distilleries?
Well, a lot worked in the old Walker's distillery down here on the Boston Road. And then, I think the one was Shohan's distillery.
Shohan's up there.
Out there. And I knew Miss Beat, I know Miss Beat Robin worked there.
Right.
But that's about the only one I really knew that worked there at all.
Of course, we are always interested in what happened here after the distilleries closed. And do you think that there was, as far as a lawless element, we do know that they started bootlegging whiskey and selling it and things, but do you have any particular memories about any big hullabaloo or something, you know, going on about the rum runners or the bootleggers or anything like this?
I think at one time, I was raising children then, I don't know much about that, but I think there was several, I don't know who they were or anything, but I think they were caught in the county someplace, around Bardstown someplace close, but I couldn't tell you the day or when that was, or it was a lot of talk about it, you know, and things like that.
Yeah. You said you were raising children at the time. Were there any shortages of things because of the economy? And I mean, were the stores still operating like they used to? That goes on into 1933.
Yes, in the late in the 1920s, and probably around 1926, 7 and 8 or something like that. And of course, you know, I was really ill in 1927 for 4 months in bed, never sat up, and I didn't know much about things then. But later, around the 30s, you couldn't get sugar or different things without the tickets that you...
Oh, okay.
And I should have one here someplace, I don't know.
Okay. Where did you go to buy those tickets? Were they issued to you?
They were issued to us, yes. They were issued
and
to us.
And were limited in the amount of sugar?
The amount of sugar, yes. You had to have those tickets to get your sugar at just a certain amount.
That was to try to prevent the moonshining, because they were making those.
That's right. Because I don't know much about the moonshining.
I'm thinking about the sugar aspect. I know that big shipments of sugar, they would always investigate, and some of the country stores would have big sales.
I remember when Mr. Hagen passed away, Miss Sarah Jones' father, he was out in the woods trying to find moonshine still.
Okay.
And they found him dead. He died with a heart attack sitting out there.
Was he a revenue agent?
Yes. That's what he was.
Revenue agent. A lot of the distilleries locally were owned by local families and things.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure they had to come up with some other way. They had warehouses full of whiskey they couldn't do anything with.
They did. They couldn't sell it for a while or anything.
Did you have any knowledge of anybody that, say, somebody that worked at a distillery and they had to get another job? Were there any factories started up to try to provide jobs or anything like that?
I don't remember anything like that.
You think the tourist industry, I know Mile Kentucky Home opened in 1923. I don't know whether that, don't know if you have a feeling about whether that, a lot of people went to work for the restaurants or the boarding houses.
I remember when they had a sale uptown where the old Boone property was up here on the corner. And I remember when they had a lot of things they sold up there, I think, from the home. I'm not sure, but I think I'm right.
Yeah, I think the American Legion sold
it. Yeah, I think that's what did it. Right. And of course, as I say, I was raising kids then, and I didn't know much going on. But I remember that so well, because I went over there every out of curiosity.
go a little further here, we're getting up to 33, with the economy and the attitude and things. After Prohibition was over and the distilleries could go back and operate, do you remember any people coming in from outside or bringing money or anything about the opening up of the distilleries again?
Well, I don't know too much about that, but of course, out here on the Bloomfield Road, I think Mr. Guthrie.
Oh, yeah, he built that.
Built that distillery. And I really don't know when it was. As I say, I just don't remember that all that then.
I'm going to talk a little bit about the blacks, because I don't know that we've talked too much there. Did you have help in your house when you were raising your children?
Oh, yes.
Well, it was black help.
Yes.
I didn't know whether they were involved in any of the, you know, a lot of times when people were, some of the newspaper accounts talk about arresting different ones for, taking whiskey to Louisville or to Cincinnati and things, and I didn't know whether they were being used as the couriers or anything like this.
Not this girl.
No.
She worked for me and Miss Conway and different ones. Nice. And she was very tongue-tied and just black as she could be. And she was a fine black girl. But now, back in the early years, you know, when my mother had children, my grandfather had a place on his land up on North 3rd and it overlooks 2nd Street. The Strange House is on.
Oh, yes.
They had a black mammy that took care of the children.
Just lived with them all the time.
That lived with them all the time, called Mammy Charlotte. And they just loved her. So, of course, that's different when in the 1923s and 1933s and all that.
Some of the tales that we've heard on this project about people, you know, taking whiskey from the warehouses and taking it into Louisville to sell or different things like that, they talk about the automobiles, that a big automobile coming in was kind of a clue that maybe this, particularly a strange one that you didn't identify.
Yeah.
And were there not a lot of automobiles here in the 20s, or did everybody know whose car was whose?
There wasn't very many.
Was that way?
No, there wasn't very many. No, there wasn't very many. Of course, I wouldn't know anything about
types.
Yeah, the types of them or anything like that.
When you had, I know you had your children and things, but did you ever, you still played music some. After your marriage, you never played the piano again like that?
Not much.
Yeah.
Not very much.
Well, you didn't travel around.
I didn't travel around. And let's see, I married in 1921. I just started having children.
I just had wondered what they did for entertainment.
We used to play back in the old sweet shop gym,
back
in there, and especially Saturday nights, but we didn't play at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Nobody.
Because it was Sunday.
That was Sunday.
It was Sunday. Okay.
Played home sweet home at 12:05.
Okay. let's see. Other things we can ask about. I know we had a police. Go ahead. We had a police chief and some assistants here, and of course the sheriff had his deputies, and then you had the revenuers. It looks like we had lots of policing element here, but according to newspaper clippings and things we read, they caught a lot of these people, but then there were a lot of them that may not have been caught that got away with some of this. was there an attitude of criticism in the community, do you think, against people trying to sell the whiskey, you know, in Louisville, or?
I never heard anything about that.
That
at
they just
all.
Didn't.
No. I know, I only remember three police, and one was named Vitito back in the early part of my mm-hmm. teens. I think he had a place on his eye, you know, mm-hmm. a patch. And then, of course, Mr. Charlie Tongue, Heavy Tongue, mm-hmm. they called him. He was my mother-in-law's brother. Mm-hmm. And then Floyd Burby.
Yeah.
I know those very well. But as far back in the teens, I did mm-hmm. was the only one I knew.
Okay, we took a little break there to get something to drink. Can stimulate our mind here. One of the things that you had forgotten when we were first talking about your family, you had forgotten a sister.
I have a sister that's 97.
Oh, my.
And she's coming to see me the 15th of June.
I bet. Well, so you and she then are the
are
two
the
that
are only left. Two left. I'm okay. Sorry, I forgot their name
well,
at first.
Her name is Alice?
Alice Vargas Croom.
Vargas. That's an interesting
Well, George Vargas was my mother's nephew.
Oh, okay.
He was with the city of Bardstown, I guess, a long time.
The engineer or something, wasn't it?
No, he wasn't an engineer. Oh. He worked in the office.
Okay.
Probably.
Treasurer.
Treasurer.
Vargas.
He was in, also he used to be in People's Bank
okay.
in Bardstown.
Well, I often wondered where that name came from.
Uh-huh.
We were talking also about your little group that went around playing, and this is before Prohibition, but you were telling me they had an interesting name there.
We had a name called the Groom Chasers.
That meant that if you were sad, you came in, listened to you play, and go away glad.
And I forgot to tell you that I used to play the piano at the Crystal Theater.
Okay.
And I never had a light on when I played the piano. I played in the dark.
Played in the dark, okay.
And I also played at the old opera house.
Okay.
When they used to have vaudeville shows there, and I was about 14.
Okay. The, of course, the were these silent movies you were playing for?
Silent movies, uh-huh.
Okay. How did you know what to play?
Oh, I just played anything came in my mind. I
okay.
played the ear.
Okay.
And I just played anything.
Would you look at the movie first to see
no.
if, you know, if it was supposed to be a chase scene or something?
Yes, it'd be chasing, and you know, like the... cowboys
uh-huh.
and all those things, and they would chase each other and carry on, because I had certain music that I thought about and played.
Played for that.
And then I had to quit playing when I married.
Okay.
I think
so
Emily, I believe Emily Mae Bush took my place
after
I married.
Do you remember what you used to get paid for that?
Dollar.
A dollar the night?
Dollar a night.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
That was big money.
Yeah.
Oh, that was big money.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to work. I always loved to work.
Uh-huh.
And I worked for Miss Ethel Bowman in the millinery shop a long, long time
ago.
When, and then I married and, of course, quit working.
Mm-hmm.
But I always loved to work.
Mm-hmm.
Still working.
Right, right. We talked a little bit about the Methodist Church and their stand about alcohol and so forth. But after Prohibition, when they opened the distilleries back up, was there any talk? I mean, does this attitude still come through that they didn't want you working at the distilleries or
well, I never heard anything about it if they
after
were.
That.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know whether that was it. You think it was a particular minister or just the fact the Methodists were teetotalers as a group? Or?
Well, I just don't know, but I know the Methodist minister here. I believe his name was. I'm not sure whether his name was Brother Merle. I can't remember.
Well, it's been a while.
I can't remember, but he was very much against it. Very much against.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we had a woman's temperance league here. And in fact, it might have been the Wesleyan. Let's see. No, that's not right. Seems like there was someone mentioned out that there was a group that worked against alcohol.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of
that.
No. But I love to work, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, during the time Prohibition was here, then the saloons that you talked about on East Main Street
mm-hmm.
up there, I mean the east side of Main Street, they were closed.
They were closed.
Okay.
One was where the sports
mm-hmm.
shop was,
mm-hmm.
and then where the old, let's see, OAMP used to be, OAMP store used to be along there somewhere.
Okay.
There was about three or four along there.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about, for the recorder, you're talking about the east side of the first block of North Third.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And there was a bank at each end of the street. People's Bank was on the north.
People's
corner.
Bank was on the north. Now, let me see.
It was a farmer's
bank. Farmer's Bank. Uh-huh. Farmer's
oh, yeah.
Bank.
Well, I've just wondered if they turned them into anything else during Prohibition, if they used them for a restaurant or a bowling alley.
I don't think so. I don't think. Mm-hmm. I don't think so at all.
Do you remember any talking about any speakeasies or any place that you could go to get whiskey?
No.
That way.
I wasn't interested in that.
Well, I didn't know whether your contact with your, you know, with your brothers playing, did they continue to go on and play in an orchestra after you married her?
No. Marvin Yule did. Mm-hmm. He went with another orchestra, and so did my brother Ansel. Mm-hmm. Yes, he mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm. And he played until he passed away in 1959. With him. Of course, they wanted me to play right away after I lost my husband, but no way did I. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't do that.
Well, when did he die?
Mr. Mark died in... June the 4th, 1951. Okay. 38 years ago.
Go. Mm-hmm. The do you think that Prohibition was good for the community, or what effect do you think that it actually had on it? Did it, as far as an opinion, I know that you, the Prohibition period, that 13 years, do you feel like that was a good or bad
thing? Well, I don't think younger people, I don't know anything about it much with raising family, mm-hmm. but I don't think younger people drank then like they do now and could get hold. They just couldn't get hold of anything, I don't think, back in that time, mm-hmm. like they do now.
Well, where would you, the only place they could get it would be in a saloon then?
It would be in a saloon, that's mm-hmm. the only place.
You didn't have retail outlets where people could buy bottles, or how did that
no,
work?
No, mm-hmm. no, we didn't have anything like that then.
The medicinal whiskey that they bottled during Prohibition, of course, that was sold through the drugstores. Now, was it your grandfather that was the drugstore?
My mother's father, James, David James Wood, was my grandfather. He owned the drugstore there on the corner. It was called Wood up there at the top. Mm-hmm. They had it.
Right.
Storm took all that off. And then he, after he retired, he put his son, David James, mm-hmm. Wood in there, David Sweet's Wood in there, mm-hmm. and I don't know how long it was there, but my brother, David, was named David Wood Croom, mm-hmm. he filled prescriptions and everything in there and worked in the drugstore for years and years, and also Dave, my brother, had a jewelry store mm-hmm. on the North 3rd Street in 1902, mm-hmm. and he was there quite a while on that.
Was he operating the drugstore during Prohibition?
Yes, he was.
Was on that. Mm-hmm. Do you know if, you know, that was the only legal way at the time to get alcohol or get whiskey, that he sold it by prescription at the drugstore?
No, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know about that at all, because I was just a real young teenager then.
Did you, do you know if you ever used whiskey as a medicinal
Never.
Use? Never know.
Mm-hmm. Never. Okay.
That's kind of a personal question, wasn't it?
Yeah, but no, that's all right. That's just fine to ask me. No.
Oh, no. No. Let's see. Something on that. Let's go back a minute to when you were talking earlier about no ladies walk down the side of the street on the east side of North 3rd Street because of the saloons. Was this or a danger situation? I'm not real, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but it's not real clear exactly why.
Well, I would think it was dangerous.
That way.
Because, I think a little bit right now, there was a man shot on North 3rd Street. And the Rouse building was up here on the corner where the Oakley building mm-hmm. is now. And they took this man, I forget their names, mm-hmm. but it was in the late teens, mm-hmm. and took him up there. And then had Dr. Irvin Abel Sr. to come out, and but he died during the night. But I remember that because everybody was scared to death. I wasn't on the street when it happened.
No, but, mm-hmm.
but that was, I imagine that's one reason. Maybe a lot of people drank a lot then mm-hmm. and would be drunks on the street, you know, and they wouldn't right. want anybody, but we couldn't.
Well, I know the saloon's on the one side, and the other side had merchants and things, but was there any reason to keep them? I mean, the people just stay over there by the saloons, and when they drank, they didn't cross the street? Or
I don't remember that, but I don't think any ladies ever walked down that side of the street. If I can remember that well, because
it's kind of a fascinating aspect
yes,
of that.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of off limits for women, the
yes,
ladies.
It was. Yeah, it was.
Like that.
It was.
Okay, then women as a rule then weren't drinking.
If they were, I didn't know anything about it.
Well, that's why I guess I'm...
We used to have dances at night when I was in my teens. Big dances up here in the, over the Crystal Theater upstairs. And great big orchestras would come and they'd last all night long. Well, what I did, I don't know what anybody else did, but what I did, we'd go down to my house for intermission, we'd have sandwiches. And I don't know whether we even had soft drinks then. I can't even remember that far back.
Punch or lemonade or something.
We must have had some lemonade or something like that. But that's what we did. We went, we'd go down there, several, 8 or 10 couples. And
well, then the refreshments weren't served at the dance. They just had the dance for the people.
No, and they'd go out. They'd go out for that hour.
And that was before Prohibition, so actually if they wanted to serve liquor, it would have been legal to do it, but it just wasn't a cultural thing if they didn't do it.
They didn't. If they did, I don't know anything about it.
Right, well, I think the...
And I can't remember whether the restaurant was open across the street or not now. I just don't remember that, where they could go, because these dancers went on until about 1920. Big man. In fact, Cocky, my brother, whose nickname was Cocky, used to have these big dances and have these big orchestras to come in.
He would organize it.
Organize it, manage it.
Manage it.
And then we'd dance all night long.
All night long. Do you wear your shoes out?
Wore my shoes out. Had a good time.
Maybe that's what's helped your longevity here.
Maybe it did.
In my head. I don't wonder. Well, I hope so, because that's exactly what I'd like to do.
My family is kind of a long-lived family anyhow. My father was in his 93rd year, and my grandfather Wood passed away at 92, and then my brother Dave passed away at 90, my sister Maud passed away at 90, and of course I have Alice living, who's 97.
When you're saying Dave, are you saying DJ Wood? Is that your brother?
DJ Wood, no, was my mother's nephew.
Okay, well, I'm really confused.
Now, I'm going to show you what you gave me when you...
Okay. I'm talking about my old Kentucky Home Hotel, which is was in the second block of North 3rd Street. I remember when I, in my youth, they had a coffee shop. Did they have a
They
restaurant?
Did. They had a coffee shop there.
And you said that, did they have a ballroom or something?
No, it was a dining room. They'd a lot of times we'd just go up there at night and then move the tables all back. And we would never, we just... Well, they'd say, here comes Mary Beeler, you know, and Morgan would get his saxophone. It was just us two a lot of times sat there and played.
Sound like a jam session.
And played and had a good time. Just that's the way we had a good time. Only but I got tired of playing the piano. I liked to get out myself.
I was going
to
say, what happened when...
Nellie B. Sisco played the piano then, and she'd play sometimes. But I don't think Mary Stiles ever played. I don't think Erlinda ever played the piano at all for the dances.
What, did the hotel have, I mean, like when in the dining room, did they serve drinks with the, in the dining room?
No, never any drinks.
Things have changed so much, we're trying to just think about on that.
And they had a beauty shop back in the side, on the side of Flage 8. And this was a long time ago.
What, I'm sorry to keep going back to the situation on the, I guess what I want to say is, did you see any public drunkenness? Did you ever see drunks on the street or... anything like that, in the, you know, either before or during Prohibition?
No.
Like that?
No,
that
I
was
never
nothing.
Seen that drunk.
And
thank the Lord for that.
Well, that's what I was just trying to get an idea about the situation here in terms of the public and social and reaction to people.
I imagine it was plenty of it, but if it was, it wasn't the time I was on the street. Only time I remember of when the ladies could vote, you never had such... heard such cheering and everything when they could vote for the first time. I forget what time that was. 19?
I thought it was 20.
1920?
I think it's 20.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. That way. Did you vote the first time you could?
Oh, I didn't vote for a long time. No, I was just a kid then.
Yeah.
Well, I was 20. I was getting married in 1920, January.
Yeah.
But a whole lot of that went on, talking about the ladies not voting before. When I was about 17, 18 or something like that, you know. No, my mother owned several places on Main Street.
You were talking about the building where they were putting the apartments up there on the first block. Did she own that one? Is that what you were saying about building the apartments there?
No, you mean over Joe Hurst?
Yes,
Conmore owned those.
Conmore owned those.
And over the A&P, Thomas Baldwin Sr. Mm-hmm. and Francis Boone lived up in that one.
Okay.
And when I married, I lived right across the hall from them in the next one.
Okay.
And Kern and Betsy lived in the third one.
Okay.
There used to be a little bridge that went out in front of
yes, it. Yes, we have a picture. In the pictorial history, there's a picture of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then Sammy and Virginia.
Oh,
Sammy's
okay.
Lived in the inland.
Okay.
And I remember so well when I was in that cyclone, you know,
mm-hmm.
with my two first children, Virginia and Samuel took care of Betty. She was a baby then.
Okay, now what, you say the cyclone?
I was coming home from Louisville, and this first started buses out here mm-hmm. in about
1995 that you,
yes.
you were in with your two children.
We were coming home from Louisville on the mm-hmm. bus. Because it was so easy to put me out right there on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the storm started before we put Mrs. Croom out, Ms. Tom Croom,
mm-hmm.
on the Louisville Road.
Okay.
And Mr. Rapier, Ecro Rapier, I reckon, was Ms. Tate's father.
Right, Ecro, uh-huh.
And he was on the bus, and another couple of the women were on the bus. And I had Betty, she was 6 months. And Harold was three, and he was sitting between me and another lady,
mm-hmm.
Last name was Clark. And this bus driver, just after he put Miss Croom out, we started on down, and he hadn't gotten any peace, so he said, I can't hold him in the road any longer.
Mm.
And we went down this embankment about 15 feet. Oh, it was terrible. And we got up that bank some way, that old muddy bank in some way, and here comes a car.
Mm.
And it happens to be Mr. and Ms. Will Stiles.
Hmm.
And they put us in the car and brought us home. Well, I was in complete shock and all. So Virginia took my baby,
mm-hmm.
and they called for my sister to come over from Boonview. She was living there then, and take care of Harold.
Mm-hmm.
But I 9 months or 10 months later, I had a complete breakdown from that.
All the stress and strain and going off them.
Mercy. It was, you have no idea.
Mm.
To say you're going over,
mm-hmm.
and you, what could I took my baby and held her up like this without falling on her.
Mm. That way.
Yeah, it was terrible. Mm-hmm. It went right straight through a pipe there,
mm-hmm.
right before you came to that big old house there on the right that you can see all the way over Nelson County on the
okay,
top.
Okay, the one that
McClure lived in.
Mm-hmm.
It went all the way over to Springfield and tore up the colored section of Springfield.
You know, that's the same path the tornado in 1974 took.
Really?
Did you realize that?
I didn't.
It didn't go to Springfield, but it went right across there, that ridge, they call it. The tornado ridge or whatever.
Uh-huh.
In 1974. Now, you're saying this was in 25.
25, March mm-hmm. of 25.
Mm-hmm.
Very hot and humid. Mm-hmm. Humid. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
And that's the way they all start,
mm-hmm.
nearly every
almost.
Time.
Yeah.
But that was a terrible night.
Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible night. They had to carry me upstairs and get the doctor
sure.
and put a big fan on me.
Mm-hmm.
So, here I am.
Yeah. Survived
here
it
I
all.
Am.
Survived it all. Oh, my. Well, I am...
I wish I could have told you more about things.
I think you've told me a lot more than you think, see, because you're talking about things that were the situation here, the culture and the entertainment. And you also are showing the aspect that... a Protestant aspect. A lot of people that we've talked with have, a Catholic aspect and all of this, and have been involved in the distilling industry.
Mm-hmm.
Not that all the Catholics were distillers, but
mm-hmm.
So that a Protestant that was not involved in the industry and really had no economic thing there.
That's just exactly why I quit, because
mm-hmm.
I couldn't take it anyhow,
mm-hmm.
and I was just young. I don't think I worked more than 2 days.
Well, you're saying in the distillery, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it in the bottling room you worked?
It was in the bottling
room,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think I worked over 2 days, and I just...
That was before 1920.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wasn't over 15 years old then.
Okay.
So I say I always loved to work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when we had our big time, Dixie,
mm-hmm.
we had a bunch we went with called the Splendid Crowd.
Hmm. Okay.
And we'd go to different homes of the parents,
mm-hmm.
and each one would play the piano, different ones that played the piano, and they'd open their house, just my mother opened the door,
mm-hmm.
that was the best place to be.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that these days,
mm-hmm.
but that's the way we had fun.
Right.
We used to go out to the old McGill house back here on
Templin Avenue, mm-hmm. where Hubbards lived.
Yeah.
And Leo McGill's mother lived there, and Leo was one of our splendid bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go out to where I was born, and I think McGill's lived out there at one time,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we'd do, mm-hmm. and go over to the Woodard home on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
that big old place that, I forget who owns it now. I know, but I can't think of his name. Charlie Hart.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Charlie Hart owns
mm-hmm.
it. And we just had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We really had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a clean, good time. There was no
right.
eating or drinking or anything
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
And we've had a decent time to get home.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get home. So that was the good times then. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
a... Well, a lot of things went on, not only during Prohibition and afterward, but ever since. Different things
oh,
happened.
Yes.
And,
oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Do you have any opinion about whether you think the people who moonshined or who were bootleggers during Prohibition, that they went on and continued that after the law was changed? Or?
Oh,
yeah.
I imagine they did for a
yeah.
while.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine they did for a while.
As long as there was money in it?
As long as there was money coming in. You know,
yeah.
money talks.
Yeah.
As long as money was coming in, I imagine
yeah.
they took care of that a long time.
Yeah.
A long time after that.
Yeah.
Like booking, bookies or whatever
right.
you call it.
Right.
Different things like that too.
I know when you talked to earlier about the sugar tickets, and we couldn't decide where that you had to go get them, but that came toward
remember,
the latter part, you say.
I can't remember where we went to get that
Coke.
Sugar.
Mm-hmm. But was it, it was more
It was in about 1928.
In the later part.
That's about when it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad then. It just... Mm.
Almost like wartime
now,
rationing.
It could be too that it was in 19 early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
It could be as late as early in the 30s, about 1933 or 34.
Mm-hmm.
That may have been the right date,
mm-hmm.
for all I know, because I know it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when Hoover was in,
mm-hmm.
it was a depression then.
Right.
It was bad, and that was I think in the late
20s. Well, I want to thank you for your conversation.
Well, I didn't do much
no.
for you.
Well, I think you just did fine. Thank you again.
Well, you're welcome.